You ever been to a place called Preston's?
That's right up the street from me.
They got a decent steak, dude, and they have an excellent lamb chop appetizer.
I think that is right up the street from me.
By the way, in case we use this for the podcast, the reason why we are stalling is Brian has a mouthful of cookie. I just want to go on the record as having said that.
Well, I am married to Recipe Girl, so there are always good offerings, good eats here around the house.
Welcome to the Dumb Question Podcast, the podcast for trainers in the life sciences industry, a place where we meet training and development professionals and explore topics that might illuminate your perspective. And now, two industry professionals who never tire of the sound of their own voices, Matthew Yesko and Brian Land.
Welcome to the Dumb Question Podcast. I'm Matthew Yesko, and I'm joined here by my co-host,
Brian Lange.
And this is a first for us, Brian. We are recording this virtually as most of the U.S. is staying at home. So again, you may hear a change in audio quality or things like that. We appreciate the listeners for noticing those sorts of things. The Dumb Question Podcast is really centered around the phrase, there is no such thing as a dumb question except one that goes unasked. This time, we are asking a question that I think everyone is actually asking. And it's really around this post-COVID-19 world. And what now? So Brian Lange, I turn to you. What now?
You know, I think there are a couple of camps. One camp is going to come out of this, and perhaps it's going to be sales leadership. The potential is going to be there for them to say, hey, look, we can do it all virtually. We don't have to have meetings anymore. I think that would be a rush to judgment. I would like to see a critical thinking process take place where we assess, hey, we learned we can do more than we thought. I think that's a universal takeaway that people have. I think that's what the potential to come out of this is.
With all of the people that you have contact with within the industry, what are you hearing trainers are going through right now that might have been different, say, a couple months ago?
I would say there's a lot of chaos and running around and stress in the beginning. Now, a couple of months into this, I think people have their footing, you know, a little bit, and it's a bit more organized. I think now they're implementing, dare I call it, the second wave of insights. And that is, okay, what did we learn from this first round? I'll use myself as an example. You know, I did a lot of virtual training when this kicked in. And so I've learned that my ideal group is 8, because I think that participants feel more responsibility to participate.
You say you're traditionally a front of the room live guy. So how are you using the technology right now?
And it's been a lot of experimentation. And I would say that a lot of the things that I like about being in the classroom and the techniques and strategies that I use to get engagement from people, it's similar. I bring that over to the digital world. It feels a little bit different, but it's not an entirely different animal.
So as you evaluate what's going on in our industry, what skills do you think salespeople are going to need now that we're heading towards some sort of new norm? Do you see a difference in what representatives of the healthcare industry are going to need to know moving forward?
I think sales professionals are going to have to be even more focused on how they create value. And they have to believe in that value that they create, because you're going to need that confidence to gain access. And if you go in and you have a mindset of, gosh, I don't want to take up someone's time, I know people are busy, and so you almost have that apologizing kind of mindset, that's not going to work. You have to absolutely firmly in your gut, in your DNA, believe that you are there to help patients, to provide value, to educate and engage with healthcare providers so that they have the information they need to ultimately make the best decisions for patients. If you don't feel that in your gut, you're not going to get access. I think access is going to be the biggest challenge moving forward.
So if that is how the industry is changing for our customers, the salespeople, if the salesperson has to appear more confident, get better access by providing value, how does that change what sales training needs to do moving forward?
I think they definitely have to be focused on putting themselves in the shoes of the sales folks. If you don't really understand what it's like to try to gain access to an office, that's going to be a challenge. And I think ultimately people skills, the emotional intelligence, et cetera, boy, I think that stuff is going to be so crucial for our sales professionals that we as trainers have to really become experts in how we teach that. I think another important change is going to be how hyper-focused we're going to have sales professionals be around the idea of creating value and not like wasting time. There's going to be no toleration for anything remotely gimmicky. And I really think that part of the way we can create value is to be more dialed into our empathy and our ability to truly listen without an agenda. And that means really trying to demonstrate to the other person that we hear what they're saying, but use that as a means to encourage them to speak more.
So let me ask this question. If empathy is the key to access, how are we as an industry going to have to evolve if, you know, how are you doing? What's going on with you? Doesn't have a direct line to an approved marketing message.
Those marketing messages are key for, you know, positioning and explaining your product, but you've got to do the hard work of connecting first. When we come in and we start just talking about our solution, it doesn't resonate. It doesn't have a chance to connect with what's happening in that other person's world. So I think we have to go into those offices with complete focus on the other person and what's happening to them, connect with them and their world and what's happening. That's how you earn more time.
You know, it's funny. We've talked about what now. I'll tell you what's not now, which kind of caught me off guard, is that virtual reality just wasn't ready for the prime time. I think that in a small, limited setting, it certainly has its place. And I think that there are a couple of great use cases for virtual reality. I think that's been demonstrated. You can go on YouTube and see all sorts of ways that they are using virtual reality in training. The thing that surprised me was there is no service whereby I could put on a pair of VR goggles and feel like I was transformed into the room with you.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get an opportunity to speak with Don Brehm, someone who both speaks with and for a bunch of stakeholders within our industry. Don is someone that, Brian, you have worked with very closely over the years, so I'd love it if you gave a chance to give us a little insight into who Don is and why she's considered to be such an important voice in the sales training field.
Matthew, I'm very excited to have Don join us today. She has extensive experience, of course, in the life sciences field, having started at GSK and risen through the ranks all the way up to vice president of sales, and then moved into sales training as well. And now she's with L10, the Life Science Trainers and Educators Network. She's the executive director and has really led the organization through a lot of change, nothing more substantial than the changes they've gone through in just the last few months. So with that, let's welcome Dawn.
So again, I guess, Dawn, question is, you know, as it relates to the post-COVID-19 world, what now?
Probably one of the big what nows is we celebrate, because life science learning and development personnel finally got all the time they wanted, right? We've been saying we don't want 1 hour at the POA meeting. We can make an impact. And finally, the organization turned to training departments and said, the people are yours, make an impact. So the first thing we do is take a big old deep breath, because I know that our life science members have been working harder than ever, pivoting and providing great amounts of value to their organization. So the first one now is take a breather. Recognize that you really have served the organization. And the second part of that, which may even be one of your other questions, is we have to stop and say, you know, we did a lot of training, but were we strategic partners? And how do we take this opportunity where we are now in the limelight, we're the one they're calling, and become even more of a strategic business partner? And that is the hard question, is how do we do that? But it's really time to think about how can we get the organization to continue to recognize the value that we bring.
You talk about trainers working harder than ever. And I have to tell you, just from everyone we've spoken to, that's 100% true. One of the questions I was really looking forward to asking you, though, is about the changing need of a trainer to be better at change management. Can you speak to change management as a skill needed in our industry?
Sure. And that's often characterized in the learning space as learning agility, right? How can you pivot to the needs of the organization? And this whole change piece requires us all to stop and say, are we thinking innovatively? Are we being receptive to new ideas? Are we ourselves resisting the change and still saying, oh my gosh, if it's not live training, it's not going to be that effective. If I must, I'll do it this way. Or are we challenging ourselves every day to say, how can we make this as effective as possible, changing with the changing environment? Another really important piece of change is to get your change champions, right? One of the learnings, if you read on change, is to get your change champions involved and have them shouting from the rooftops that, yes, we must change and we must be agile, and learning agility as a skill set to adjust to the changing environment is really critical for learning professionals that want to be seen as leaders going forward.
With the changes that have taken place, with the responsiveness of the learning and development departments across the industry, do you have a sense that there's a greater appreciation from those other internal change champions and connection and value for what learning and development does?
So many organizations right now recognize that their digital strategy, how the organization operates with technology, is critical going forward. And learning and development professionals have had to grab that, right? It wasn't like, oh, let's think about what strategy we're going to use. They had to jump in, grab it, use Zoom, use all the different platforms to try to deliver. So I think there is a recognition of the value that's been added, but I also would argue that just like everything, I always say, ABC, always be closing. You have to be selling to your organization, communicating to your organization the value that you just brought. Look what we did. Look how we helped. We're ahead on this digital transformation that organizations are trying to make. And let's continue to let us be part of that solution, because we have experience here and we've shown we can do it.
Is there sort of one technology that seems to be gaining a lot more traction through all of this?
I certainly see Zoom and Microsoft Teams both being ways that people are really embracing on how to connect and make people feel like they're together as much as they can. Audiences are hungry for knowledge on how to be effective virtually. They're experimenting with all these different platforms and finding out which ones work for them and finding out, you know, where the bumps in the road are. And the great thing about working with a training audience is they're incredibly forgiving.
Dawn, what's been the biggest surprise to you since this whole thing started?
I think for me, the surprise has been that working from home has thrown people for a loop, that it's such a different pattern. They weren't sure how to execute on it. I think for some, that whole different pattern of not going to the office and how do you communicate and keep communication open and accurate when you don't have like those water cooler conversations has been a challenge for some. And it does take extra effort, right? So if you don't have the water cooler conversation with marketing and you're, as we said, at home as a trainer, busier than you've ever been, right? Creating and converting things to meet the learner's needs. Do you forget about all those other stakeholders? How do you connect with them? Do you set time with them? Do you ask to join their virtual meetings, right? So in the home office, you might just scroll on down. They had you on the distribution list, but are you on the distribution list for the virtual Zoom meetings that marketing is having? There's a lot of miscommunication and you have to be real careful about that. And it's not people, you know, trying to be malicious or anything. It's just that you have to work extra hard to be a clear communicator and make sure that others have heard and received your message and that you've heard and received theirs.
There might be people that are listening to this podcast who are unfamiliar with L10. If you are, it is a fabulous organization. We actually plugged it in the very first podcast we ever recorded. But could you just say a few words about what you see as the mission of L10 and just maybe a little bit about what people who are members can expect out of L10 moving forward?
Sure. And thank you for those kind words about L10. We are, of course, a nonprofit. So L10, Life Sciences, Trainers and Educators Network, was founded over 50 years ago to support sharing of knowledge amongst life science learning professionals, recognizing the regulated environment that they work in might be different than some of the other environments that they could learn training skills from. It's all about sharing, networking, and learning. So we want our trainers, our learning and development professionals who are members, to be the best they can be at their craft so that the learners will have the most effective experience when they interact with them. We do deliver on that mission, not only through that annual conference, again, virtual this year, but through other events, live certificate programs, we call them, where you can practice your skills. Some of those, again, are going virtual this year. We do that through a publication called Focus on Training Magazine that comes out quarterly. And it's also supported through a lot of digital publication activities as well. So always looking for how can we support our members.
Dawn, that is absolutely fabulous. Thank you for that overview. I know our time is limited, but I just really have one more question left. And when you think back to this time, and it doesn't have to necessarily be professionally, it could be personal as well. When you think back to this sort of stay-at-home order, what's going to stick out for you?
I think the resilience of people in general, the agility of people in general, organizations all over this country really, we're very agile in figuring out how to serve people.
Dawn Brehm, Executive Director, L10, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights. Thank you also for your service to your membership.
Anytime I can talk about L10 is a great day.
You're a fabulous guest. Thank you, Dawn.
That was terrific.
People want to hear what you have to say. So reactions to Dawn's interview.
Boy, I have to tell you, Matthew, I was surprised when she talked about her first reaction to, you know, what's different is the idea of like celebrate. And then that's closely followed by the need to kind of toot our own horns within the organizations. And maybe we can claw up and get a little bit more, you know, respect, a little bit more visibility. I don't know. I think if something that comes out of this pivot is a greater respect for the professionalism. And instead of being told, hey, here's how much time you have, L&D folks should be able to say, hey, listen, based on the business need here, the best way to make these learning objectives hit the mark is we need X amount of time. And so we're driving that, not reacting to what's given to us. So I think that would be a real positive if that's something that comes out of this time period.
Well, and tied into that, and not exclusive from that, is this concept of asking ourselves, to what degree is training a strategic partner? I will have to say too, I'm thinking about an industry that in the last 60 days has potentially had to redesign things that had been done that way for a very long time, years.
We are, I would say, not an industry known for deft, quick, nimble decision-making or change. It can be, and bigger the organization, the tougher it is to make things happen.
We are in one of the biggest times of change, both in our industry and at least for me in my career, as people start rethinking how they're doing things. Let's just assume this is the biggest event that is causing change in your career right now. And maybe that's the wrong assumption, but if I were to have said to you, say back in February, what was the most change your career had to deal with and how did you deal with it? What would have been your answer back in February?
Probably September 11th. You know, Perm Consulting is an organizational development consulting firm. So we do a lot of work around helping understand what sort of cultures companies want to build and how do you engage your employees so that you have as many employees that you can consider high performing as possible, right? For me, after September 11th, the big shift that I saw was people really wanted to have more meaning in their work. They wanted to do things that mattered. I think it caused people to look more inward and really think about, am I doing what I feel I'm the best at or nourishes me the most? And I saw a lot of people shift and change with that, particularly younger folks coming into the workplace. That was definitely a big shift. So I think that, and of course, you know, the recession in 08 and 09, from a business perspective, it became harder to help people see the importance of investing in the development of their people. How about for you, Matthew, from your perspective? You know, you've been in the industry and then now as a service provider to the industry, what stands out for you?
Well, what stands out for me is probably my transition from being a salesperson to a sales trainer in terms of the amount of change that I saw in my career, just because the skill sets that served me and the intuition that had served me as a salesperson were not the skills or the intuition I needed moving forward. So that's probably from a personal development standpoint. I would say the other major change that happened in my career was moving from running a sales training department to being a service provider. And I think the thing that changed for me there was the learning agility that was required to learn all new organizational dynamics and understanding how each organization was slightly different and being able to meet the needs of those organizations on a daily basis, as opposed to really being grounded in one organization's politics and culture and approaches. I'm having to learn a new one every single day.
Matthew, you mentioned that one of the biggest changes for you, a sea change, was when you went from being a sales rep to being a sales trainer. And I've observed that change for people in the industry for a long time. When a salesperson is effective, it's very often based on their individual efforts and based on them as a person and what they do, et cetera. And I think one of the learnings when someone then comes inside and becomes a trainer is I think you learn to make the shift away from you and all the things you're doing, and you shift to focusing on your audience. And the really great trainers, they learn that. It's really about your audience and shaping their experience. And how do you engage with them? How do you make it relevant for them? So it's this external focus, right? Audience, audience, audience.
That shift from individual contributor to being part of a team and being really putting my focus on someone else to advance my career was one that I struggled with, Brian. I mean, I really struggled with. And probably the part of it that I struggled with the most was it not being about me. I'm not sure if really effective sales trainers are always the most effective at self-promotion. In fact, what we might find is the most effective sales trainers are some of the least effective at self-promotion. That's sort of my take on it.
I appreciate that. Very interesting.
That's a wrap on today's podcast. I'd like to thank Don Brehm for being our guest. Of course, we also always want to thank Tim the Monk Haggerty, our producer. I'm Matthew Yesko. I am the Chief Learning Architect at Aquinas Leadership Group. You can reach me at M-Y-E-S-K-O at Aquinas L-G, which is A-Q-U-I-N-A-S, L as in leadership, G as in group, .com.
And I'm Brian Lange with Parham Consulting. Should you want to reach out to me, you can reach me at B-Lange, B-L-A-N as in Nancy, G-E, at Parham. That's P as in Peter, E-R-I-M as in Mary.com.